want to ask before we go any further is, Tanya, the link to this was sent out in an email. I just want to make sure that Jim Stockmall has the link. I had to go back and dig through my ODF emails. Could you just zing it over to him and in case that's the reason he's not with us, that it wasn't an
Yes.
obvious link? And thank you. So let me welcome those of you who have joined us so far. I'm Carlos Valdez de Pena. I am on the a member of the board of ODF, as well as the co-lead of the Community Engagement and Learning Team, the group that sponsors these conversations. A bit of context. This idea of the role of strategy in org design has been bouncing around this community for just under a year, if my memory serves me. And we've had some pretty heated conversations about it, particularly between those in our group who are agile focused and agile oriented, and those who come from a more conventional org design background. And the place these two things meet is I think rich. There's sort of a churn that happens when you mix up agile with org design and sort of conventional thoughts about org design, at least the way I was trained. And so I've been not batting this idea around with colleagues. I was at the ODF conference in Philadelphia a few months back, sitting next to Richard Thayer, who's sitting up there. You'll see him somewhere on your screen. And I was talking to Rich about this, and he said, "You ought to convene, let's convene a discussion about it. I know some good people who could make it interesting, including William Zybach, who's with us today. Welcome, William. Sally Parker is not able to join us. Sally had to travel today for work. And I am hoping that Jim Stockmill will be able to join us shortly, if he, in fact, is available. But look, there are any number of you here who could be sitting on this panel. That's absolutely clear to me. So it's not an exclusive club. It's just that's who happened to come up in our conversation sitting at a big round table in Philadelphia a couple of months ago. And so here we are. I'm going to ask the panelists who are present, Rich Thayer and William Zybach, to take a moment to introduce themselves and to say just a bit about why they think being here is useful to the community and to ODF and to org design in general. So maybe a minute each on that. First, about me. I am on the board of ODF. I am the co-chair of or co-lead of the community engagement team. I have my own independent consultancy, which I'm casually winding down. But I've been involved with org design. I spent almost 20 years at Mars Incorporated as an internal consultant doing about 50% of the time was trying to figure out what the organization wanted to do with itself and what it wanted to be. So they kept me very busy. We did a major reorg every 18 months or so. So I've got quite a bit of background. I have to be honest, I've never felt terribly competent at it. I do it, but I keep thinking there's something else I need to know. And that's why I think this conversation is important, because in my background, that strategy sat atop whatever org design model I was working with. There was strategy like its own sort of star gleaming and guiding the way. And I've heard people challenge that, and I'm really interested in learning more about it, just in my spirit of ongoing learning and education. So that's a bit about me. We'll start with you, Rich. Tell the community who you are and what you do and why you think this matters.
My name is Rich Thayer, and my focus last few years has been on organization design and working with traditional hierarchical organizations and helping them transition to ways of working that fit better in today's volatile, uncertain world. And what I'd like to also just acknowledge that Jim may not have been able to join us, but one of our colleagues, Randall Rawlinson, who the founder of LBL Strategies, has been able to join us.
Oh, great.
And he probably has forgotten more about strategy than I've ever known. So I welcome his presence here, and I'll pass it over to William.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate Carlos, you setting this up, and Rich, good to see you again as well. So my focus has been looking at strategy as from multidimensional perspective, we look at the globe and think there's four different ways of organizing. And we think about that as an abstraction from reality, because that's not true, but it's kind of helpful. And so, and again, one of the LinkedIn comments that was made about this session was about the traditional ways that the MBAs would be doing strategic planning. And to me, my perspective is there is job opportunities for those people. They are in what we consider the directive or hierarchical kinds of environments. And that's where Rich has his experience, a significant amount of his experience. And so there is a way of doing strategic planning, which is expert driven, kind of top down, lots of research. We get those kinds of things out of Deloitte, Accenture, and those kinds of companies. And again, that's an overstatement, but that's one way. And then we go to the other end of the spectrum, which is agile. And when we look at, I did a manufacturing company in France. Everyone was a strategist. And quarterly, we had strategy meetings. And at any point in time, any individual in the organization could call a strategy meeting, because that's a different kind of way of doing it. I think about the onset of real-time strategic planning in the 90s, 80s and 90s, which said, you know, that the traditional linear way of doing it doesn't actually take advantage of the reality of strategic planning, which is not the plan or the artifact, but the engagement of the people who have to carry it out while they're doing it. And so to me, as I've worked globally, and I was on the board of ODF for 9 years, I helped found the African Organization Design Forum, and the European, I worked with them as well too, and the OD network. All of those organizations kind of come at strategy from a different perspective, but it's part of what they do. To me, the key piece here is that you can't separate the map from the map maker. And so what is your personal preference? How would you go about it? And how much does that reflect your inner sensorium, like who you are? Because we project that out into the world. The new kind of planning is in the direction of sensing into the ecosystem and listening, folks. So anyway, that's probably more than a minute, Carlos.
Yeah, you're over time, William, but it's okay. We don't see you very much, so you get a little extra time. Make up for all that time you've been pulled away. So let's remember that the focus here is the relationship between strategy, which historically was a long, this 3 to 5 year window, right? That was what I was schooled in back in when I was getting my master's degree in strategy, and how that has shifted so much. And what does that mean for org design? Because look, let's, at least again, from this guy's perspective, org design, you create a design and you implement that, and then you operate out of it for some period of time. And it ain't cheap or easy to do, at least in my experience of org design, which is why I've always felt it's a kind of a high risk, a sophisticated practice that requires great knowledge and depth of knowledge and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, so that's the swirl out of which this conversation arose. What I want to do is I want to, first of all, remind everybody's here. There are 40 of us currently online. This is for the community. This, we have a couple of panelists here, Rich and William, and I guess myself, but I'm more a student than anything else at this point. But we welcome your continued additions to the chat. I'll ask you to raise your hand at any point when you think you've got a contribution or a powerful question. This is for us, and we've got a couple of gracious individuals who've agreed to anchor it and provide provocation for us. But it is not about us or those two guys or anybody, any individual here. It's about the community. So what I want to start with is a quick poll for everybody, speaking of the community. And it ain't a perfect poll. It's just, again, it's about provocation. So I thought we'd throw it up there. Let's respond to this poll and then let's get talking. So here you go. I'm not going to defend the quality of these statements. They're the best I could come up with. And it should at least feed this discussion. So let's give it a go. Just pick one.
We've got about 50% participation. I'll give it another few seconds because they're a little bit long statements to read through.
And while we're filling space, folks, please use the chat box. It's a way to distribute the conversation because the wisdom in these 40 people is way beyond what Rich and I can share. And so please bring yourself in through the chat. It's a great way. Or as Carlos suggested, just come in with the voice.
So I have only one planned question for this after we get the poll done. And that question actually, Sally, forgive me if I mispronounce your name, Shelley Sager has raised in the chat. And that's the first question we're going to tackle, Shelley. We'll get right back to that after we look at the poll. So looking at this, Rich, William, do these results surprise you? How do they feel to you?
Well, I'm drawn very much to the second response, second level response strategy. Mm-hmm. Is important in org design, but not indispensable. Again, depending on where you're at in the spectrum of types of organizations, that may or may not be the case. I was doing a redesign of a technology organization in a state level, and we had a world-renowned strategy, except for it was created by the architect who sat next to the CTO and nobody was engaged in it. So when we went to do the design work, we spent 3 months doing a strategy that was owned by people. So from my perspective, in that particular example, we felt the strategy was essential. And so we put off the design work for 3 months.
Okay. All right. So there you go. There's an example of where it's central. And we're going to come back to the question of what do we mean by strategy in a second. Rich, did you want to add anything William had to say, or can we go to that question of, so let's get some definitional clarity. What do we mean by strategy?
Well, to be a little provocative, which is so alien to my nature.
Of course.
I don't see how anybody could answer other than number one. It's like, if it's not there, what are you designing to? And to get to William's case, which is, basically, strategy is not a big process you have to go through. Strategy is how you allocate resources, pure and simple. So you have a strategy, whether you really think about it or not. So it's the indispensable starting point. If you don't understand your strategy, what are you designing to? What are you trying to accomplish?
So let's go back to that definition for a second. No, strategy is simply the allocation of resources.
And how you do it. It's the process of how you decide how to allocate resources.
So let's stay with that for just a second, William. I don't want to cut you off, but Jim Dowling, you've got your hand raised. How's that?
Awesome.
How's that strike you? I'm not hearing you. You're still muted.
Strategy, another definition. Strategy is a course of action to achieve outcomes.
Okay.
And the reason that Rich talks about allocation of resources is because ultimately we can have a roadmap, a visual, a sense of where we're going. But ultimately, if the organization doesn't actually allocate resources to that, it's not really, from our perspective, a strategy. But I also want to go back to Rich's provocative question. And I would say I absolutely know why people don't respond to it as a essential. And that is when I think about my early upbringing in the 70s in organizations was in the federal government. I worked for the Department of Health and Human Services. And we did design work totally in a vacuum from the strategy. We were not involved, included, or all of that. And we were reorganizing the parts of the organization. So to me, I think depending on where we sit in an organization or what kind of organization, the org design's strategy is not actually relevant. So I think it depends on where we sit. It's kind of that map maker issue again. I like your provocative questions, Rich.
We got another. So Jim, your hand is back up. Let me go back to you, and then let's talk about the comments here, because the chat's kind of rich. And let's William and Rich, if you'll have a look at that, we can work from there. Jim, go ahead.
To William's comment there, every level of an organization, every leader who leads teams ought to have a strategy for how they're going to deliver the outcomes that are expected of them. The reason that we often start without a strategy is because there is no enterprise level strategy that is shared with everybody. And so, and if you ask for what that strategy is, it's not unlikely that the answer will be, no, we don't share that with leaders at your level. They'll say it politely, but it happens. Just as an example, we defined a strategy for a top three insurance company in the United States, and we defined a strategy for the IT organization in 2 weeks. We presented it to the president of the company, and the president said, well, those aren't the outcomes that I'm looking from IT for. So we simply asked, well, what are they? And he put his team together in front of us and had them express what their outcomes was. And presto, we had a strategy. Now, did they have to change their strategies because they didn't agree with them or that they were out of date? Absolutely. So I think I'm with William as to why do we start without one is because there is none at the upper echelons that help us to figure out what our strategy is at whatever level we're working.
And I want to go back to what Rich said, because the question is whether or not the strategy is conscious or unconscious. Just like us as human beings, there's a lot of unconscious material there. And part of the work of design is to make the invisible visible. And so part of the question that we ask is, do you have a strategy? Do you know it? And ultimately, the other component of it is we also, that issue of visibility is moving out of the mental body and moving into the other three vehicles and tools that we all have. This is use of self in organization development. So we've got a mind, we've got a heart, we've got a body, we've got a soul. And ultimately, my definition of soul, for those of you who are freaking out, which I love because I'm using it in Baltimore City schools right now, is our connection to our inner sensorium and our connection to the world. That's how I do that. Are we using those vehicles in relation to making meaning of what's present in the system, translating that? Also, strategy has been the purview of the MBAs and the thinking world. And the thinking world, again, since Descartes, has kind of dominated and diminished or repressed the heart, the body, intelligence, and ultimately our connection to bigger things. So there's a bias that we've got built in and we've been conditioned to for 500 or 600 years, or some might say a few thousand years, if you think about the Abrahamic religions and how they have outplaced the feminine, because it is about integrating the head and the two hemispheres and heart and the brain and all that. Because what that allows us to do is sense into what's occurring in a different way than traditional strategic planning, which was called scanning. We did scanning there. It was an analytical process. The Solution Focus Conference in Vienna, they talk in terms of noticing. Rich and I talk in terms of sensing. But this, and this comes from Sally, which is ultimately paying attention to all our senses in relation to the ecosystem. How often does a manager in a mid-level place in an organization do that? They can. And ultimately, when there's a lack of an organizational overt strategy, folks can sense into what's occurring. And it may not be right, but it's okay because our mind, our little mind, actually doesn't have the ability to comprehend the complexity, which is why we use the Kinefin framework and complexity theory, because that actually works really well in those kinds of settings. Those are not traditional tools in the MBA toolkit, but they are tools that we say organization design. To me, I can't separate organization design from organization development, from change management, or psychology, or human dynamics. We bring those kinds of things together when we focus on diversity, getting a diverse group of people. And that might be, if you're a mid-level manager, it might just be listening to those crazy people and those interesting people in your own group.
Okay. So thank you.
Sorry.
I want to try to ground this again, because these are big ideas, William. And certainly we play in the space of big ideas in the work we do. I'm looking at the chat here and a couple of things are popping out. And I wish I could address all of them. Sue Larson asks the question, I think to you specifically, when you did org work, divorce the strategy, what were the org designs solving for? And that to me is a grounding question, right? I get we have use of self, we have sensing, we have noticing. What if I don't have a strategy, what am I working from?
You're working from what is present.
And for example, you were working in the government. Give us an example of something you did while you were in that government role that it was working from something other than strategy.
Right. So one of my fun projects was working with the 300 executives, senior level executives with the Department of Health and Human Services. And our focus at that point, this was in the 90s, early 90s, was to develop a strategy for total quality management. Now, total quality management is a methodology, mm-hmm. and it was brand new. And we were engaging these folks, and we had a three-day conference, and we focused on how do we implement that. That conference, as we moved into it, had no strategic focus other than one of the strategic objectives was total quality management. So that was not that. So it's kind of like, what's the boundary? And mm-hmm. so we focused on, in the context of the operations of the organizations, how do we do TQM? And so that's to me an example of doing design work without being privy or invited into the strategy.
All right. So that became your North Star for the design.
Yep.
And I guess what you could say is to bridge something about Rich said and what you said. So Rich made the provocation that how could you possibly do org design without a strategy? There are facsimiles. There are things you can say, you know, we don't have a strategy, but we do have this as a North Star that we can use to guide the design. And it may not be a true strategy, but it is a significant priority that could shape our thinking and choices.
Right. And that has changed in the last 20 years with the internet. It's so different. Because at that point in time, that was in the late 80s and early 90s, we didn't have that for everyone to be connecting on their own. Today, that's not the case. People have a lot of access. We're sitting in a global conversation right now, which could not have really happened in the 80s and 90s. So our ability to sense into what's happening in the world and how is that being mirrored into our industry, into our work, because mirroring does occur. The important thing about mirroring is it never looks exactly the same, but if you're sensing into patterns, which is what we do in complexity, then you start seeing, oh, it's not exactly the same, but this inability at the global level to resolve issues that's resulting in war and conflict is actually, we're having that in our organization. We don't have a mechanism in our organization to prioritize our resource allocation. So there's mirroring that occurs. And then you say in our own individual sphere, this is, you know, sphere of control, influence, and concern. Mm-hmm. In our own arena, can we do an experiment where we actually connect, prioritize, even though it's not in the whole organization, but it's in our group?
Okay.
So there's lots of ways in that kind of a setting and say, so what do you guys see as patterns in the world? What are you guys reading about in the articles and the books and what are you hearing from ODF in terms and we can theme things out. And so that's my response.
Okay, good. Bruce, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I want to jump on William's mirroring bandwagon. A little hard to say. In the 1990s, at least some of us thought it was really cool to have the broader environment, the stakeholders, not just listen to them, but have them actively involved in building and adapting the strategy. But before that, I mean, for me, industrial design was 1970, and that was where designers were having a little revolution saying neither we know what's going on, nor do our clients know what's going on. We have to start with looking at the environment. We have to start looking at what are we in? And as we try anything, what kind of effect does that have on us and on it, that environment? And I think of that as what that's one really practical use of stakeholders is often they know parts of the environment that we can't know. But I think of that as the mirroring in very practical terms is to say, let's not design for them. Let's not build strategy that we know will work in there because we don't know. We have to start outward. And that if we can get them active in it, by the way, we can adapt a lot faster because we have this internet thing that we can use minute by minute now. So I'll back off now.
Yeah, thank you for the comment. I see there's another hand up. Is it Yaya?
Exactly, it's Yaya. Thank you. First of all, thank you for inviting me to the conversation. Very excited to be here, and it's my first time joining an ODF conversation. What I've been thinking about, like when I started looking or working around org design the first time, one of the first things I learned was not to design around people, think about a strategy and design around that. That was one of the first things that I learned about. And it seems to like track when I'm working in the corporate context. I'm a consultant, a leadership consultant. But I have been having more and more conversations with people that are more in the community organizing field, in the social movement building field. And what I've been seeing more and more in that context is a group of people coming together and saying, we want to change something, not really knowing how they can go about it, what they can do. And the conversation ends up starting with, okay, I have this skill that I can contribute. I have this context. I have this time that I can commit. And people like what I've seen in those conversations, people starting to think about, okay, how can we structure ourselves? How can we design a way of working that works for us as a group? And building on what that what the possibility is there, deciding what they actually want to achieve and what they want to do. So the design, the structure of how they want to work came first, and what that allowed, the space, the capability that allowed, was the thing that opened the door for a conversation around what is the strategy that we want to take, what we want to achieve.
So the structure or the strategy emerged from who showed up.
Exactly.
That's so interesting. So that it seems to then suggest that if somebody drops out and somebody else joins, then that would by necessity say we have to reconsider the choices we've made because we've got different people now. Is that fair?
And that's absolutely fair. And like one of the organizations that I'm thinking about right now, it's not a really well-structured and organized organization to be said in that context, but that's exactly what happened. A few key people left because they moved, time constraints,
right?
And the whole organization had to stop thinking first and start thinking first. Okay, what can we do now that we lost these skills and shifted the complete focus over the course of a year and started doing the work completely differently and achieving the overall goal of impacting the community from a different perspective.
Yes. Yeah, so. Yaya says is when we think about the materialistic view of org design or strategy versus the humanistic view, we brought in the humanistic view because it was missing, but it's not either or, it's both and. And ultimately, when we look at Emory's search conference from the 50s, 60s, 70s, we look at the open space, when we look at all of those kinds of things, those were the experimentation of shifting out of a small group of experts or the leaders to a group of people, because ultimately we know the research around the wisdom of folks. And ultimately, if you think about community organizing, they're already there. They're already there. They know that it is about the passion that we get from folks who are involved. Again, and there's the neuroscience research around that, intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic. So Yaya's example is great.
It is awesome.
And you know, the thing of it is, it doesn't matter if we start with a mechanistic or humanistic, ultimately, if we move in the direction of integration.
So here's what I worry about. Let's say I'm in charge. God forbid that should ever happen in any circumstance, but let's say I'm in charge and I'm trying to lead an organization. I'm getting very nervous about the degree of instability that some of this stuff suggests. In other words, if my strategy is emergent, or if the thing I'm designing around is based on who shows up this week versus who shows up next week, or some other idea of the moment, maybe it's TQM, maybe it's agility, how do I run an organization that's, if I implement a design, part of that design is the governance and controls, right? This is how I'm gonna run this. And if that changes on a regular basis, I'm very uneasy about that. So hang on a second, William. Jim has raised his hand. So let me go to Jim and see what Jim's got to say, either in response to that or not. Jim, go ahead. Jim Dowling.
Yeah, well, it's directly in response to that. And that is that the starting paradigm of an organization being highly structured and controlled needs to go out the window. So just as a preface to this, my consulting practices that I've started in three different consulting firms and now retired from is taking strategy to results. 99% of the strategies that we've been handed to take to results are fatally flawed, but they're useful. We've even seen the same strategy given by top three consulting firms, business consulting firms, given to three competitors. Exactly the same documents with the names changed. And two of them were energy companies, one of which you know, everyone knows the name of. And the other ones are records management companies. And you know the names of those as well. But the key is that we design adaptive organizations. Adaptive organizations require different cultures from rigid organizations. GE locomotive engines does not require an adaptive organization. They get a significant change about every 15 years. On the other hand, if you look at any of the IT unicorns that come out every couple of years and flash onto the screen, they need to be adaptive because they compete with each other tooth and nail. They've got to be highly responsive. So the idea is not to deal with the structures so much as to deal with the outcomes that you're trying to produce for the organization and the culture that you need to adapt to changing outcome choices. So you design backwards. You don't design from the current state, you design from a myriad of future states. I'll pause there, but that's just a completely different way of looking at designing organizations, and it's fast.
So you design from a myriad of future states.
You take Wells Fargo Bank's IT organization. You bring people into a workshop environment where they brainstorm 10, 20, 30 different ways that the organization might reshape itself in the future. Including being turned over to another bank. And you say, so what's in common of these and what's different? So what capabilities do we need? Mm-hmm. Can we trust that if we invest heavily in these will differentiate us and these will make it work for us? And Wells Fargo Bank is still working, even though it's totally different from the way it was 8 years ago when we took it through its transformation.
Okay, fascinating. Michael Gold has a hand up. Michael.
Yeah, I'll pick up on, well, first of all, I'll say to Jim, it's a good thing that Wells Fargo is operating differently.
Yeah.
We'll get
so it is indeed.
Steal less from their customers, perhaps. But to pick up on something else that Jim said, you know, you what I heard Jim say was talk about designing toward future scenarios. I think if I generalize here, the key is, I feel, and I answer number one, you must be designing toward something. Whether you call that strategy, goals, purpose, whatever. When Yaya talked about whoever's in the room contributes their ideas, that really, really, really frightened me. because while I think that humanistic approach to involving everyone is essential, I would never begin an org design initiative without knowing what my goals were. Whatever you call the goals, I think you have to have them, because otherwise you could org design for anything. You could org design for any scenario, and you wouldn't have any progress toward the outcomes your business is trying to achieve.
So one thing I heard that is common, though, is that, and Harris will get to you in just a second, is this idea of capabilities. If we look out and say what capabilities are needed, and the other end of that is Yaya's comment, what capabilities do we have at the table, right? We may find a way to design to that. And I love that idea of designing towards something. I think it's really powerful, whether that's a strategy or a needed set of capabilities to be responsive. Very, very provocative thought. And capabilities does come up, of course, in our conversations in conventional org design thinking, right? What are the capabilities we need? But it's a little bit different angle on those. So that's fascinating. Harris, go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you for convening this. And I've never seen the comments box lit up the way it is here.
That's fascinating.
I think it's validating the fact that there's just a lot of different textured perspectives from within the community. And these are the experts. Now, imagine for a second what the leaders of organizations are dealing with. They are completely ill-equipped to help their organizations through this. So if anyone here had any doubts about the role of the org designer, bingo, you've heard that here in the last 40 minutes. And I think to the comment I think that Rich was making before, you know, any good org designer, if they've been brought in to do org design work, have ended up going into the realm of strategy, God forbid, and help on articulating ill-formed or non-articulated, non-understood strategies. And especially in this post-pandemic world, you know, any good org designers coming in, asking those questions, helping to get to that clear North Star where choices can be made. And a lot of those comments are replete here in the comment section. This is a great time for us to be bolder about what we do and push up against getting the clarity that organizations need and that their employees deserve. Thank you.
Okay, so the notion of clarity, Harris, is very powerful. I think it related to some of the comments, pulls together some of the comments nicely. Yaya, your hand's up again. What's up?
Thank you. I just want to add one thing first. I totally agree with the comment Miriam shared in the chat. It's highly dependent on the size of the organization. So this was much smaller than a Wells Fargo. I don't think that approach would work there at all. But echoing what Michael said as well, like I totally agree that there is a need to design towards something. Here, it just wasn't the strategy. So like the capability that I brought into the table in that conversation was basically to say, okay, what are we designing towards? And what we did was at the end, define design principles that were less defined around what do we want to achieve, but more how do we want to work together? It was more framed around what kind of culture do we want to build? How do we want people to be included? How do we create an inclusive environment? And the main part was actually by having the idea to serve the community as a key point. It was the strategy or whatever we want to do needs to be defined by the need of the community. So at the end, we defined a structure, like you can call that latter part a strategy as well. The strategy was around how can we reach out to the community and learn from them, and then use the capabilities that we have to address the needs there. So there's, I would say it just wasn't the starting point. The starting point was what kind of principles, what kind of culture do we want to build to work together effectively, and the strategy followed later. But designing towards something was still a key element. And lastly, like to address what you were just asking, Carlos, I don't believe in that. Talking to a leader, I would panic as well if someone would come to me with this approach. what I think it's interesting to have elements of that included in a highly controlled environment to allow for inclusiveness, to allow for adaptability, to just like have the main control, to have the main strategy, but still give room for some adaptability.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Tadessa, I think it is how I think I said that close to right. Your hand is up. What have you got for us?
Thank you very much. Just a novice for such programs. You may not expect a lot from me, but simply for the sake of introducing myself and for the sake of explaining some points on this, the importance of strategy, or is strategy is important to lead the organizations. So simply just I can explain this strategy with very few words. So an organization without strategy is simply like a balloon on the air. So we need to have an excellent strategy in order to succeed. So the strategy is a dot to start a line, or a dot like to write a line. So without strategy, simply the organization cannot achieve their objectives. So in order to have successful organizations, so the manager needs to design first the strategy. So for instance, let me give you some informations about my experience. I am working in Aksum University, and I'm also the Dean of Students in Aksum University. So if I want to lead my students to succeed in their education, I need to first design the strategy. So based on that strategy, I need to also organize the designs who will perform the tasks which is below or under me. So as to me, the organization without a strategy is, as I have explained, like a balloon on the air. And at the same time, the strategy should be also flexible, because after you implementing the strategy, you may get some comments, some suggestions from different stakeholders, from different communities. So you need to arrange or rearrange or make some changes. So in order to make those changes, you need to also make it more flexible. And my concern is not more or less to say something or only on strategy. So simply just I want to introduce myself for the time being for today. And for the next sessions, I'll try to prepare myself for wider discussions. But for today, I'm very happy to be here. I have listened many informations, and I have also got excellent guys from different corner of the world. And I'm thankful to God.
Well, welcome. Glad you could join us today.
Thank you.
From your corner of the world. All right, Michael, you got your hand up. You want to
thank you.
Take it
yeah,
from here. Thank you.
Building, hoping to build on what I heard Yaya and Tadessa say, and just start an idea of, I think it's absolutely essential you bring in the wisdom of the community. And I would define that very broadly, because there is the internal community of your employees. There's your connected stakeholders, whether those are vendors, suppliers, public policy, or people that affect how you operate. So I think community needs to be very, very broad when you think about org design. That's how I think about it, at least. And I think you give to that community how the organization will achieve its goals. But, and I'm going to tease William for a minute, being an MBA with a strategy concentration, I still come back to, even if you can have a community decide how to achieve the goals, I still think before the org design initiative begins, you have to be clear about what the goals of the org design are. That's it.
All right. So designing to something, we're coming back to that very handy phrase that I don't remember who contributed. I want to put something out there. As a guy who spent most of my career as an internal OD, both org design and org development consultant, often what I designed for was, we need to take 10% out of the cost structure of this organization. Right? We're becoming more efficient. And they would often, in later years, say we have to be more agile. And so we'll get more agile by getting rid of some people. We want to cut headcount. We want to cut costs. Is that a valid anchor for an org designer? Should I, as an org designer, be saying, I get it, and isn't there something more powerful, more anchored in outcomes and results, other than just the bottom line? You want to find 10% of, you want to take out 10% of your costs. I'll just put that out there. Tedesse, your hand is still up. Did you have a comment you wanted to add on, or can I go to Jim?
Hello, please.
Your hand is still up. Did you have something you wanted to add before we move on to Jim Dowling?
No. Okay. Actually, just I want to ask for the communities. Yes, I'm a sports professional, and I need some individuals who can explain strategy in relation to sport organizations.
Okay, I saw that in the chat. So you hear that, guys, you can reach out. You've put your email in the chat, I think, as well, so that individuals can contact you that way. Jim Dowling, your hand's up.
Yeah, a quick case on your statement there. Intercontinental Hotels, formerly Six Continent Hotels, was being aggressively taken over by a shareholder movement to break it up into 10 small companies. Mm-hmm. We were engaged to take out $150 million of annual operating costs. That's a legitimate reorganization approach to increase the capitalization of the company and increase the value of the organization, right, so that it wouldn't be broken up. So our job was, we had 12 weeks to create a defense to a stock that to be presented at a shareholders meeting that would result in $150 million cost takeout, annual takeout. Now, if you know British companies, that meant we had to sell their grouse hunting grounds. We had to sell their we had to return their limousines to the leasing companies. We had to fire their chauffeurs, or actually their chauffeurs were all hired by their executives to work out of their payroll, had to cut payrolls, et cetera, changed just about everything outside of hotel properties, including selling three hotel properties. So yes, it's legit. But the key thing was to come back and say, so what was the old purpose of Six Continents Hotels, and what's the new purpose of Intercontinental Hotel Group?
And did you have to, so that was one of the questions somebody raised early in the chat, this notion of purpose, designing to purpose, if you will. Did you find you had to clarify that purpose, give that purpose, put some language around it before you did the design, or did you do these things in parallel?
We demanded that the 13 consultants who were being deployed around the world would go home if they could not explain the difference in the purpose of the old organization that was so fat and bloated and the new organization that was going to be lean and agile. And it was all selfishness. We are an aristocracy. So we have hotel rooms in London, even though we live only 15 minutes train ride away. We have chauffeurs for limousines that sit idle in garages for weeks at a time. So the purpose then said, so what are your new values? What do you value most? And the value shifted to something and said, remember, you're selling this to your shareholders. So your shareholders are going to judge whether you've selected the right values. That led to a different vision for Intercontinental Hotels.
And that was what you ended up designing to?
Well, we took the vision and we said, so what outcomes are you going to produce for your shareholders in the next 12 to 24 months, and then in the next 5 to 10 years.
So we're pretty much back to strategy. We're back to sort of conventional strategy again, aren't we?
And we reserved the word strategy to say, okay, so now that you know what the outcomes are, what is the strategy for producing these outcomes?
That's your question, is it clear?
So we moved strategy to the level of action, and we used the military term course of action to produce those outcomes. Now remember, this is only 3 months of time to reinvent a 150-year-old company that is a mix of owned and franchised businesses, et cetera. We did not touch one retained hotel property. We recommended in the proposal to sell, and they actually sold two properties because they were surplus. They didn't need two properties in England, in London.
Okay.
So it's just a different take, which was the purpose then says, so what values do you need to demonstrate in order to fulfill that purpose? And now what vision gives vivid images of living those values and fulfilling that purpose? So now what outcomes are you going to produce for your shareholders and for your employees in the process? And now what's the course of action to deliver those outcomes? That is the moniker that we use to replace the word strategy. It never appears in any of the documentation. Mm-hmm. The word strategy never appears in any of the documentation.
Right.
They came out of that.
But ultimately you got to outcomes, which perform that anchoring role for the design.
Correct.
In order to get those outcomes, we need to put these kinds of things in place.
Right. Yeah. And shareholders said, I want you to take $75 million of that out in cash, and I want you to invest the other $75 million in growth.
Okay. Excellent. And great story, Jim.
You see that they now went from 7 to what are they now? 16 brands around the world. It's written up in, ASTD wrote it up as the best leadership development program intentionally.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's a topic for another day, perhaps.
Yeah, every member of their team that worked on the project is now the president or a member of parliament, president of a company or a member of parliament.
Wow. There you go. Okay. There's the connection. Thank you.
So that's to your point of, cost takeout a legitimate reason?
It is when it's got a clear purpose to it, right? It's got an organizational purpose that's well-defined. And perhaps that's my job as the internal consultant being asked to reorganize the finance department in North America is, what is the purpose of it? Other than the X percentage, what are we hoping to gain by it? And maybe it's about the valuation of the business overall. It could be almost any legitimate business reason, and it makes it worthwhile. If I'm hearing you right, I want to go back to William. We haven't heard from William for a while, which is fun. We're going to circle back. William, what's come up for you?
So I want to take us back to a comment that you made, because I track stuff. And I want to play off the last point that Jim made, which was that this was seen as a leadership development thing. And part of what I'm attending to is I'm noticing what we're doing is and it's great. I mean, I just love this, but there's an area that we haven't missed because we're kind of playing with examples and illustrations out there. But I wondered, Carlos, if you would be willing to play a little bit with bringing this more into reality because of the comment that you made, which is, as a leader, I'm nervous about all this change. And I'm really, you know, it's like, so I want to go back to that comment. And we could play with that, Carlos, and say, if I'm a designer and you're the leader, what am I going to do about that? And to me, so I would say to you, Carlos, because this is an inner issue. When I'm working with a leader, I as a gestalt coach, I pay attention to three questions for leaders, particularly if they're in a new position. What is it from your previous job or role or position that is relevant in this position? Second question is, what is it from my previous job or experiences is irrelevant for this role? And then the third one is, what do I need to learn that I don't know in relation to this job? So that's bringing, and this is a level of systems issue. Ultimately, when we think about levels of system, we think about us as individuals and our relationship to ourselves. So if I'm afraid or concerned about all of this change that's happening out there, and of course, the only constant in the universe is that change is constant. We have an illusion that there's stability. But the first question that I would engage you as a leader around is, so share with me more about your experience of this change. And so to me, that would be kind of the investigation, because ultimately, Carlos, you are going to be seeing the world from who you are. And ultimately, if we want to play with this this change, we need to be really clear about that's where you're coming from. Why is it that others might be coming from other places? And so to me, I would start, and this is why in design work, as I have to use my executive coaching skills, because I'm going to engage you about those things. And ultimately, because I know that there's four different personality types, it doesn't matter which framework you use, that ultimately you might likely, as a map maker, as the leader of your organization, be projecting your view out there. And again, in many instances, that's great. That's great, except for if it's not working. Carlos, you are going to energetically, from the perspective of field theory, be sharing that fear into the people you interact with. And are we coming from a place of fear, which is, again, engaging the left brain, which focuses only on our experiences in the past? Or are we going to be paying attention to it? My heart feels that you're afraid. And so you're saying that you're not because you've got that persona that you've got to wear, but I'm feeling something different. So this is about getting into authentic conversations. The first place that we start with that, because it's safe, is one-on-one interaction. And that's why we do the coaching. But ultimately, that would be where I would start, because I don't know what kind of design or strategy work I'm going to do yet. I got lots of examples. There's lots of different ways to do it. But I want to make this strategy engagement that you are leading fit for you, not fit for me, not because I think it should be done a particular way, but I want to know you and I want to know who you are. And my role, regardless of my preferences, and this is why I need to understand who I am, because I got biases and stuff like that. If I don't understand them, they come and get me. That's a shadow. Right, I want to know who you are so that we can design a approach that makes sense for who you are and where you're at.
Okay. Well, speaking of matters human, visible and not always visible, there's an observation Michael made in the chat about, we've heard from men, males so far, at least from what I can make of it here. I recognize that how we present ourselves is not, I mean, we haven't talked pronouns here, have we, right? But from what I've noticed along with Michael, it's true, it's been mostly male. Now, there have been comments from people with typically female names in the chat, but I do wonder about the voices we haven't heard from. We're coming up against the end of our time here, and I wanna just open the floor to some voices we haven't heard from. Because this has come up a couple of times, yeah, right, bringing in the community. Great listening has been happening, and we've gotten a lot of positive comments on that. What might you be sitting on out there that you haven't expressed, even if it's a question and not some observation, but an inquiry you might have for yourself or for anyone else here? So let's just take a moment of silence, 60 seconds, and see what comes up. Just raise your hand if you haven't spoken before and you have something you want to bring into this discussion. and let's wait for it. Mary, you just unmuted. Did you want to say something?
I'm looking for to raise my hand. Yes, thank you.
We hear you.
So much for technology. You wouldn't know we do this every minute of every day. I'll just comment that I have valued the conversation. What's going through my mind without a whole lot more articulation is just the importance of keeping org design simple. And I think we can sort of get wrapped around the axle sometimes if we start to go, you know, down too many rabbit holes. I'm personally walking away from this conversation feeling more affirmed that, you know, my belief is that org design is in the service of our ability to help an organization be more productive, effective, and efficient. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, your value proposition is what defines that. That is the anchor or the North Star. And so I can see how every part of today's conversation reflects a component of the alignment that is necessary to support the execution of value prop. And that to me is sort of the simplest definition of OD. And I feel like my clients can get their heads wrapped around that even when they come to the table because it's a riff or they come to the table because it's cost savings. Right. When we ask the why question, take a page from Simon Sinek, you know, when we keep asking the whys, I find that and I feel that we should always be getting back to the value proposition question. Strategy to me can be very amorphous. It to me is what operationalizes value prop. But if your client can't talk about fundamentally, what are you trying to accomplish here? I don't think we have a North Star to work with. So that's what's going through my mind and love the conversation and love to be with my people, so to speak.
Oh, great. We love getting your voice into the discussion. Thank you, Mary. Andrea, if I'm saying it right, Andrea with two E's, am I saying it right? You've got your hand up.
Yes, you are. Hello, everybody. I think it's a great conversation, very so relevant to what we are living these days, and it's wonderful to be part of this community. One question I would have for William. Your view and your let's say framework, the humanistic way of doing org design, do you think is the same with that of starting org design from kind of where the customer is and engineering that into how the company needs to look like and operate? Is it because you just haven't mentioned customer? You're just referring to kind of the world in more generic terms. So is the same. So I like that. That kind of sounds good to me. Although I think it depends on the industry. I work currently with some heavy kind of asset base manufacturing companies that, you know, could start from the customer, but they could not just afford to move back to something else or change so easily. So sometimes I think it also depends on the industry, and you might need to use one framework or the other. But that was the question. Thank you. Please add to that if you feel you'd like to say more.
Got to unmute there, William.
Yeah, I wanted to hear some other voices, but ultimately, we have to meet the clients where they're at. The paradoxical theory of change says you have to be absolutely honest with the reality of where you're currently at. And so if we're dealing with engineers and scientists, we need to start there. And to me, if that means they can understand customer focus or continuous improvement or whatever it is, it's about having a conversation so we can connect and then grow.
So no matter what we do, at the end of the day, organization design is a fundamentally human exercise. We're meeting others as they are, where they are, and as who they are, and engaging with them in an authentic way around who we are as well, it sounds like. I want to do this. Rich Thayer, you were foundational in helping this conversation even take place, and you've been wonderfully silent, listening and paying attention. What have you noticed in this conversation today so far?
Well, I tell you what I really like is all the different views, especially in the chat room, and all of the different responses. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're saying exactly what I think there are so many different views in our community. It's hard to lose. It's easy to lose sight of how much alignment we actually have around whether you define it this way or that way. Strategy is important, and strategy is, as different people have said, your objectives, your purpose, your integrated plan. But whatever it is, it's foundational to the work we do. And I think that's really resonated through the whole conversation.
Yeah, I'm struck by that. A couple of folks have talked about that thing we design to, whether you call it strategy or something else. I'm inclined. So I want to invite you now, all the 31 of us who are still here, pop into the chat one takeaway from today for you. One takeaway from today for you. Just pop it in the chat and let's look at it. My takeaway is really that notion of I'm not going to think about it as strategy so much anymore. I'm going to think about it either as the outcomes I'm designing to or that thing we're designing to, the whether it's a problem we're solving or an opportunity we want to take advantage of. That for me becomes figural in all of this, and everything else sort of forms around it. I don't want to get all gestalt on you there, William. The one gestalt term I remember from grad school. For me, there's that figural thing, and it can be a strategy or it can be something else, but it has to be, kind of to your point, Rich, something. And whatever, and if the language works for your client, then it's the right language to use. Let's look at a little bit. I'm just going to scan the chat here. Thank you, Bruce and Sally. All right, well, folks, I'm going to wrap us up. It's about 10 minutes past the hour, at least here where I am in the northeastern United States. I want to thank you all. I wish there were a way to thank the people who've had to leave early. I know that some folks had to leave at the top of the hour. I've taken a lot out of this, and I hope we've brought you value and brought you a chance to participate in this community in a way that's meaningful for you. I think we can still do more around inclusiveness and making these conversations more open and more inviting to those who are less likely to contribute. We'll keep working on that. You have that pledge from the community engagement and learning team through me. And with that, I want to turn it over to Tani, who I think almost always has closing words to say. Not that I remember what they are, but they're always there.
No, thank you both, or Rich and William, for being here and representing the panel. And Carlos, excellent job facilitating and keeping folks engaged and going through this. We appreciate hearing from everybody. Love that you all made time to join us today. I will send out a message to let everybody who registered know when we have the video of this posted, including the chat content. If anybody has any questions about connecting with someone afterwards, let me know and I'm happy to make those e-introductions. We've got a coffee club conversation next Tuesday about designing for nonprofit sector. And that is a very casual small group conversation. So folks join. The host gives a couple of thoughts on why they were interested in this topic, and then we put you into small groups to kind of discuss a few seed questions that the host has selected to get the conversation prompted. And this month, we will be short one conversation that is our monthly global trends, because it is the book edition for the newsletter. So as I've told folks before, we don't want you to have to read 5 books in 2 weeks and come have a conversation about it. So we don't usually hold that monthly discussion, but we do have an announcement that'll be coming out later today about a conversation, I believe, on adaptive leadership that's scheduled for August 23rd. So we will have that in your inbox here shortly. Cynthia sent me the information last night. So with that, I'll stay on for a few minutes if anybody needs me to answer any questions for them. And thank you all very much for making the time to be here and participate.
William and Rich, thank you both for being here and helping us anchor this. And thank you all for being with us today. Hope to see you again in future conversations.
Thank you.
Tanya, I'll hang out with you for a few moments here to see if anybody has anything they need cleared up.